Good morning, David. Thanks for coming in and joining me this morning. I appreciate it.
Oh, happy to be here.
Your new book is called Little Acres, and it has an interesting tone, but I wanted to ask you, what's different about this book than your previous work?
Oh, that's a. I've been pondering that very issue. There's a couple things I guess I'd say. First of all, is it's mostly lyrical. They're really short. They're trimmed, how shall we say, to the natural world and to the rural world. And I guess another thing I'd have to add is that I feel really good about this book because it's the first, a normal poetry book, you pick it up and it kind of is like an anthology of a bunch of poems. It's kind of like you shuffle a deck. And in fact, that's one time I arranged a book. It's really hard for me to arrange a book. And this one, I actually feel like I got a cohesiveness about it. The book itself is another poem. You know, it's almost like a story in a way. Mm-hmm. And not so literal, more metaphorical. But I'm really happy with that. And the other thing is it came from, well, about 10 years in the processing, but I've since living out in the acreage on 3 acres and, you know, irrigating and planting and everything. I've moved into town and I've become a Cortez town person. And I love it. It's really great. Health and other issues just kind of said it was time to leave the country, but yeah. It's kind of my fondness of the country.
Yeah. Well, let's hear one of the poems if you would read one for us.
I will. The book, in fact, itself runs kind of an almanac-like thing. It runs spring through winter. And so this is called Preheat. Daffodil burns like a votive beside the sidewalk. Forsythia gushes like an old gold faithful. And this incandescent flame of feather, bluebird on a wire, flickers like the pilot light of spring.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's just warming up.
Yeah. You know, your poetry, and I think poetry in general, captures these moments, these sometimes very intimate moments, these splashes of color, smells, tastes, touches. How do you as a poet decide which moment is worthy of a poem?
I have many of those moments that are poems that never make it out of my house, like keep them locked in a room and in a drawer. But I think it's the ones that I realize speak beyond my moment, you know, to a moment like recognizing, seeing the signs of spring coming up, you know, just that poem. It's more universal. It's more recognized by people other than me. And then there's a lot of kind of, you know, self-flagellation and self-romanticism and, you know, and those things, you know, those things don't, though they're written as poems, they're kind of things I hope I bury well, you know.
One of the things that I noticed too about some of the poems, or actually several of the poems, many of the poems in your new book, is that you have quite a few animals in there. There's quite a bit of sort of relationship and sort of moving through time with animals. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's another thing I really like about the way this book came out, at least the way I finally managed to arrange it, is that it's about the natural world. And there are humans in it, and those humans are personal, you know. They're spoken in the voice of me anyway. But the birds, the plants, the trees, the weather, you know, I mean, yeah. The weather, which is like, you know, I think a big part of this thing because it does, you know, it permeates all of our lives in some respect.
Well, do you want to share another one with us? Another
yeah,
poem?
Let me take you to the middle of the book. That was spring, and this is, I think it's kind of the namesake of the, I think it must be where I found the title. It's called The Wounded Farm. From the road, nobody can tell who's home. It looks like a house, a barn, the rusted remains of a tractor parked under a cottonwood tree. The house sits in disrepair, as if the family had all it could handle turning earth into cash. They packed up and headed south, according to the neighbors. And the farm still belongs to the old man living on the ridge. Nobody else will rent it. Nobody wants to tame the urge to have what they want right now. Eventually, the farm will be plowed under like the fields around it, and those blood-red sunsets on the ridge, right where the old farm waits, simply echo the ache of its 100 little acres.
Wow. Yeah. I love a couple lines in there, that turning earth to cash
yeah.
line, and the yeah. urge to tame, to get everything uh-huh. we want right now.
Yeah.
Those are just but, such comments on society in some ways right now.
Yeah, and it is, you know, it, like you said, you asked earlier about the animals and mm-hmm. and the natural world in there. There's an enduring sense that those elements stay. You know, the people were here. And, I mean, how many of us have driven by, especially in this area, and seen the old little tiny house in ragged ruins, abandoned, and,
yeah.
you know, and just imagine the life that was once there.
Yeah.
But the world doesn't, natural world doesn't have to imagine it, it just inhabits it.
It's interesting, too, that you mentioned that, because another theme that I was picking up on throughout the book, and I think this probably comes from just that transition through the seasons, but there's a lot about time and a lot about sort of the transition, and not just in the natural world, but I think with you and with us as human beings and how we travel through our transitions in our lives. And there was at least a couple poems in there that had doors shutting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that interesting. And I wondered if you could speak to that a little bit, just the transitional quality of the book.
Yeah. I think what you're saying, it interests me because I hadn't thought especially about the doors. And as soon as you said that, there are a lot of like openings and closings. And I don't know, another way some people have talked about it is maybe joys and disappointments. But I guess it all fixes in that that little, how should we say, tick, tick, tick of our clock.
Yeah.
And the tick, tick, tick of the world's clock, which is much slower. And I think sometimes I come to recognize that most often. I guess I'm energized by it. It makes me, I see it emerging in the poem and I say, yeah, yeah, come on out of there. Come on, make that point. And sometimes it does. And sometimes I work too hard at it and it doesn't. But I'm glad you noticed that, because it's one of those yeah. things that once you live with the book long enough, I think you become blind to some of the I don't know, the like I said earlier, so much of my other poetry has been just jamming things together that didn't seem to belong, trying to invent a theme. And this one seemed to rise out of it naturally.
Excellent. Well, let's do one more. Let's have you read one more.
All right. I'm going to go to winter here, and you've got the whole season in 8 to 10 minutes.
Excellent.
In praise of insulation, the roof, shed of its snowpack, gathers the sun's heat again. Upstairs under the shingles, the attic warms, while outside the temperature hasn't climbed above freezing. On such a day, I could lift from the mausoleum of dusty boxes my dimmest memories and hold them under the glare of a bare bulb. But it has all been so neatly packed away. To open one box would only lead to another. And what is the past, if not an accumulation of things we cannot touch, wrapped up in the feeling that we also cannot let them go?
Beautiful. David, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your poetry with us this morning, and congratulations on the new book.
Thank you. Thank you kindly. I was so happy to be here.
That's David Fila reading from his new collection of poems called Little Acres. You're listening to KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder.